The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The Boogie Monster. What's with up, Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. Oh, we'll find out what happened to Frankenstein. And
how are you?
Stuff that never happened.
Better than you.
Freaking nerds.
Not in a bragging way, I just haven't had same kind of bullshit you got handed.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple weeks.
You're sitting at home with the Rona right now.
Yeah, got the Rona, and just to, you know, open up the show on a positive note, my father-in-law passed away Christmas morning.
Good
so
stuff.
So Merry Christmas.
Good stuff
yeah,
for
yeah,
you.
It's been a fun couple weeks.
Jesus, man.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
we talked about it. I saw that you guys had put an update on the Stonebergs' social media in regards to Katie's dad passing away. So,
yeah, it was fairly unexpected. Just to give some context, a few days before Christmas, he fell and broke his other hip. If you remember, about 2 years ago, he fell and broke his hip, and that's when we moved in to kind of help him with his rehab for a few months a couple years ago. Well, anyway, a few days before Christmas, he fell and broke the other hip. And as concerning as that was, I was trying to reassure Katie, like, hey, this sucks, you know, bad timing, Christmas, old man, broken hip, but this is an injury, not an illness. Like, he's, you know, I know it's going to be a long rehab process, and he was in a lot of pain, but, like, at least this is not a terminal illness or anything of that nature.
Yeah.
And was in the hospital for a few days, apparently was doing pretty well. They operated on him, mended his hip and all that. They did surgery. And Christmas Eve day, they moved him to a rehab center. He went out of the hospital into a rehab center nearby. And apparently everything was going fine, and Christmas morning he had a little rehab session. I don't know what that entailed, but he was doing some physical therapy, and they say that on the way back to his room after therapy, he collapsed and went into cardiac arrest, and they immediately ambulanced him back to the original hospital, and within a few minutes later. And the way Katie learned was so sad. Her two nephews were in town for Christmas, and even though Grandpa was in the hospital, Katie was like, we're still going to have a good Christmas. So we came over a couple days before Christmas, and I did a bunch of cooking. I cooked all kind of stuff Christmas Day, and Christmas morning we get up, and I cook us a nice breakfast, and we got the tree, and Katie, of course, being Katie, she goes hard for any type of holiday in terms of gifts and birthdays, Christmases, whatever. She just goes nuts with the gift giving. So bought everybody a bunch of nice gifts. The boys had a really nice, sweet little Christmas. And literally, like, within the minute, like, within a minute of opening the last present, and we're all, like, winding down, and I'm starting to clean up and everything, Katie goes, oh, Dad's calling. Because she's getting a call from the hospital. She's like, oh, and we had planned on, you know, later that day, we were going to take a plate of food up to Dad and visit and blah, blah, blah. And it just really broke my heart. She's like, oh, she was in such a good mood. Oh, Dad's calling. And then there's like a 20-second pause, and then here come the tears. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like 10 o'clock Christmas morning to get the news that your dad passed away. Like, rough timing. So,
yeah,
it's been a rough one ever since. And but she's hanging in there. And the weird thing, too, I think I was texting you about this. Like, I had cooked this huge meal. I've been cooking it for, like, 2 days. Like, we did smoked chicken, and we did smoked pork shoulder, and I had made casseroles, and I had this pot of beans that I was cooking for, like, a whole day. So I still – we get all this horrible news, and Katie's crying, and the boys are crying, and I'm upset. But then I've still got, like, this huge meal. So, like, I just spent the whole day just tending to this meal while everybody else in the house is just crying and being bummed out. And it's just a weird day.
If I can add, what, like, so he had a heart attack.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what, to my knowledge, a cardiac arrest is just a version of a heart attack or something. But yeah, and see, it was unexpected because, like I said, it wasn't an illness. It was just like, well, this sucks. And, you know, he'd already been through it a couple years ago, and we knew how hard it was going to be on him. Like, it took him almost a year to get to where he could walk again after that first hip. And so, you know, we were all concerned, but it was nothing, you know, we weren't thinking terminal, you know. We were just like, well, this is going to suck, and it sucks that he's not here for Christmas, but we'll go visit him every day, and he'll go to the rehab for a few weeks. And then Katie was already planning on, like, moving back into his house part-time to kind of help him with the rehab, and she was already ordering a hospital bed and, like, trying to keep everybody's spirits high, like, all right, Dad, we're going to get through this together. And, yeah, I guess I don't really know how the two are connected other than, you know, he was 80, he had been through a lot, and maybe at that age, once your body just suffers so much
under stress,
physical
yeah.
trauma, yeah, I think your heart just finally his heart had enough, and yeah, it just caught everybody off guard. And
well,
and just they were so close too, because the last couple of years, like I said, she had pretty much been his full-time caregiver. Like, she was over there at least 4 or 5 days a week, just from A to Z, whether it be helping him in and out of the shower or helping him pay his bills or taking him to the doctor, going grocery shopping. Like, she was just, I mean, that was her life pretty much for the last few years. And just bam, Merry Christmas. And then I just feel, I don't know why this is so much different than when her mom passed, but it just, well, and when her mom passed too, she still had her dad, you know, and there was still this kind of family unit. But now she just feels all alone because, you know, we've talked about it before and I don't feel like getting into it, but almost no relationship with her sister. That's a whole nother story, you know, that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel helpless. This is my first experience of, like, you know, I love her so much, and now we're married, and it's like, you know, most of my life now, I mean, you know, we're both good at, like, separating things, and I still have my life and my career and my interest and things of that nature, but we're married now. We're a family unit, and just to see someone you love so much just suffer emotionally and just knowing that there's nothing I can do, you know, other than I'm here for, and I have been here for, and I will continue to be here for, but just, I guess this is how, like, parents talk about when they feel like, you know, how they want to protect their kids at any cost. Like,
yeah,
I can protect her physically, you know, I can pull my weight in the relationship emotionally, I, you know, be a good husband, be a good friend, but just to see her just sit here and suffer with this emotional pain and nothing can be done about it, it's just heartbreaking. I just feel helpless, and I just feel so bad for her.
Yeah. Well, yeah, man, you're a unit.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's man, it's a real, real son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But that's life, you know, what can you do?
Listen, one of the days when I was in Maui, it rained. We all had rough times, but I'm truly just trying to make you laugh right now, Dave. I'm not trying to be an asshole. I'm really just want to bring you a little joy, buddy.
No, oh, man. No, cheer me up. Tell me about your trip.
Oh,
I want to hear
about man.
It
was
you
just,
have fun?
Oh, yeah. We, yeah. So that was the end. So we recorded, I think, did we record in New Orleans?
Yeah, we recorded.
We did. That was the last night of our tour.
Yeah. Uh huh.
And then I had about 48 hours of barely any sleep with canceled flights. Because I remember being like, what a great tour. I'm like, it's not over. I'm not home yet. You can't say things until you've yep. made it home from the tour. Then you can be like, that was a good tour. And I remember texting you that night, like, flight's canceled. Like, scrambling to get another flight. Because then we were leaving. That show was on a Thursday. We were leaving Saturday to go to Maui for the Christmas holiday. Because mm-hmm. I was like, being in Oregon, you do not have to twist my arm to get in some tropical weather. It was a little bit like going from L.A. where you're like, man, it's still sunny and nice out, you know, mm-hmm. in December to being here. And it's just, everything's just wet. There's moss that grows on my car.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it just, it's like when you
How
see those
work?
Like tortoises with ecosystems on their shells. And it just shit, just moss just grows on your stuff. Everything I own is rusted. Anything that could rust that I didn't realize it that I had in LA, it's just tools rusted over. But so we got out there. I was, was pretty run down for 2 days in the traveling and then was all sneezing for 2 days. Don't know if I had the Rona or not. I was just sniffling and sneezing for 2 days. My test is that if Rachel gets it, then I had it because she's the, she's the petri dish that's susceptible to any bacteria floating around.
Yeah.
And she didn't get it. So, but, yeah, it was great, man. We had the family out there and Pat and Deb got out there. We got them in the ocean for albeit brief. We got, all right, you've been near the ocean. You live near the ocean, Dave. You know there's that little part where the waves crash on the beach. And even if they're not big waves, that's the part where you kind of got to get through. Like, you can't just stand knee high in that part where the waves are crashing. And I could not get that concept through to my dad. Of like, you either stay on the beach or you get in the ocean. But if you stand here, it won't be good. And my dad's sitting there like... Dude had like one Bloody Mary and vertigo, and it just looked like we were just trying to push a drunk old man into the ocean because we're trying to help him in past that part, but he's being hesitant, and we're like, just go, and it looks like we're forcing him, like we're sacrificing him to Neptune. And then he got, and then getting out, he was ass over eyeballs getting pushed out onto the beach. Both of them, yeah. My mom would get out there and she'd float. She was all right with the ocean, but yeah, getting in and out is a little treacherous there. You got to be careful. But I think they enjoyed it. I think they enjoyed the trip. I was proud of them for getting, you know, proud of my mom for getting on a plane and going to do something that was not Las Vegas. And I think she enjoyed it. And we had it's nice. My sister and her lady friend were out there, and I had an aunt and uncle. My cousin were out there. My other aunt was out there. It was a whole gang.
Oh, man, and that's great.
It is. I mean, you've been out there. There's nothing I can say that will do it justice. All the pictures you see, I mean, there's a reason. It's a massive tourist destination.
Yeah. Had your parents ever been to Hawaii?
No. I think my dad said he stopped there on the way to when he was in the service, when he was in Vietnam. Like, they stopped, the flight stopped there. So that was his claim to fame. But yeah, I pick them up, and their whole, Jesus Christ. I mean, parents are going to be parents, you know. But, like, I pick them up in Maui. Like, here you guys, welcome to Aloha, guys. Welcome to Maui. And the 40-minute drive to the hotel was them just going over the fine print of the hotel, legal notice to see, well, if we put something in the safe and it gets stolen out of the safe that they're still not responsible for. I'm like, maybe you'd like to look out the window. Maybe you'd like to see a sunset.
Who concerns himself with that stuff? That seems like a bizarre thing to worry about.
Pat and Deb Kinane got worried about it. I'm trying to show my dad. Oh, I'm like, oh, sunsets. Like, I saw a lot of sunsets working the evenings at O'Hare. I'm like, I'm going to say that they hit a little different when it's over the Pacific Ocean with whales spouting instead of a fucking fuel truck on a tarmac on the Bensonville side of O'Hare Airport. But once we got them in there, I think they enjoyed it. I'm glad they did. I enjoyed it. It's always that weird moment where you're like, oh, did we plan this for a little too long to be here? I'm like, not at all. I know what we're going back to. Just rain. Just 38 degrees and rain every day. It was great.
That's awesome.
You know, did all the stuff. Ate Broke Edge pretty hard. Had some.
Oh yeah.
Chicken. I knew it was going to be a slippery slope when we were on that tour, and I had a rib.
Yep.
I was like Eve. I just needed one rib. One rib to ruin all my entire effort in humanity.
Oh, man. What'd you have that you enjoyed? Well, any highlights?
We went to this farm to table. My sister found a spot. You go to the farm, you go walk around and see all the stuff they, where they grow all their vegetables. And it's actually a farm for a particular restaurant that's on the island. But we got to go to this farm where they show you how they grow all their vegetables and all their little things. And then we had this, I would call it a feast. I would straight up call it a feast. I skipped out on the red meat part of it. I forget which steak, but I had some fish with all their vegetables. And then they had chicken, which they're joking about. You see all the chickens around here, which there are tons of chickens to run around. But then the chickens they had, I think I texted you this. They're called Mary's Chickens from California.
Uh-huh.
And they're supposed to be very happy chickens up until the moment of their death. I mean, I'm paraphrasing what the website says. But, you know, organic coddled chickens up until they're fat enough.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn, dude. Hawaiian chicken. I can't. Rachel got the huli huli chicken, the stuff straight from the shack on the side of the road one day. And I had one bite of that. And I'm like, I'm doomed. It's so good.
Is that good, huh?
It's so good.
How did they prepare it?
I forget what they had with it. It was just on some big old grill on the side of the road.
Oof.
And yeah, you know, I that's my fault. I didn't take notes of this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember that farm to table. Is it called O-O-O-apostrophe-O? So however you want to pronounce that, O-O Farms.
Okay.
If you're going to Maui, I suggest it. It was kind of, I do think it's kind of nice to see how the stuff starts. Gives you an appreciation of where all that stuff comes from.
Uh-huh.
Whether it be a little farm or even just some large scale, like, you know me, take a minute to think about how an apple got all the way into your little dirty hand.
Yeah.
A lot of effort. So that was good. I had that chicken. I'm back here. I'm like, well, Mary's chicken seems like they're happy. Maybe I could eat them. I'm like, I got to pump the brakes. I saw that KFC is going to start doing fake chicken things over there.
I feel like they're already doing fake chicken.
That's what I'm saying. It's probably, but like also fake chicken nuggets are not a new thing. I feel like I had those before the regular Beyond Meat burger stuff was out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I used to eat back in the day when I was vegetarian. We'd go to the Whole Foods Hot Bar had some sort of fake chicken nugget thing that was pretty tasty. Yeah, used to get down on that when I was vegetarian.
Love a hot bar, love a soup bar. It's a soup weather up here, Dave.
Oh, man.
Rachel whipped up a sweet potato chili New Year's Eve.
No way.
Ate off that for like 3 days. It was great.
There you go. That sounds good.
Threw an egg on top. I just started throwing fried egg on top of any leftovers. That's my move.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, I like that.
But yeah, it's every day I just had to get in the ocean and just float in the water. That's all.
That's awesome.
It's, you know, you've been there. It's hard to believe that it's not a man-made beach. That sand is there because that sand is there.
Mm-hmm.
And the water is clear until it's too deep to see the bottom.
Okay.
That's how clear the water
is. Damn.
And it was just, I can see how people get captivated by it. Like, I think I'm going to live here. Like, I'm one of those guys, and that's not what they need. They don't need more howlies coming from the mainland. But, damn, I mean, you guys got to start beating up a few more tourists, make it a little dangerous or something. Send some people home with some bad stories.
Nice hotel.
We bounced around a little bit. We had one place that was, we did the road to Hana, which is kind of more, it's like if you're taking the two up into Angeles Crest, except jungly with waterfalls.
Okay.
And so we did that and stayed up there. And, you know, like you deal with, like, okay, ants are just kind of part of a way of life there. But we went out one day, we came back, everything we owned was covered in ants. Like my backpack filled with ants. Everything. We put all the food in the fridge. Rachel had all these weed gummies. She had to rinse them all out. She had to rinse weed gummies and lay them out on paper towels in the fridge. Looked like just a tiny confectioner with just so many little tiny weed gummies that are all rinsed of their little sugar candy coating because the ants were all over them. Yeah, so we stayed like a bed and breakfast there. Then we did a couple nights at a nice hotel in Kanapali. And then we were at an Airbnb that we're split with my sister and her girlfriend.
Right on.
So Airbnb,
buddy.
You know, it's fine, but like, it's, you really don't worry about it. You're like, no, I'm trying to. You almost don't want a nice hotel room. You don't want an excuse to be staying inside.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to be out most of the time.
But yeah, we did hikes. Dude, we just ate real well.
Any good fish? Any good seafood?
So much fish, dude.
Yeah.
All the Ono and mahi and ahi and just. I got to a point where I was like, I don't think I'm going to eat any more fish. I was doing fish like every dinner. I was like, give me that one. Give me that kind. Give me this one. I'm like, all right. I like fish, but I'm starting to overdo it for myself.
Yeah.
But it was just real good. Real good eating down there. Shout out to the folks at the Monkey Pod Kitchen over there. And what's that called? The Wharf Whalers Village. I was there almost every night. I was getting on a first-name basis with a lot of staff. Apologies for the one night I got extra drunk. And Tegan and I just did horrible English accents at each other very loudly.
Oh, no. Yeah?
Yeah.
So well, I think that's the one accent that we're allowed to do, no?
Allowed? Maybe. Welcomed? Not so much. Even Rachel's like, you guys need to leave. The bill's been paid. Shut up. Let's get out of here. Like, what are you fucking talking about, bruv? That was it. That was just very loud. And so my apologies to the folks that had to listen to that.
Oh, man. Dude, that sounds great, man. I'm glad you had a good trip.
Yeah, I feel bad that I had such a great trip and you had the Christmas that you had.
You know, don't worry about it. We'll, yeah, it's just been bleak, but, what can you do?
2022, baby. I really think it's going to turn around this year. Completely turn around to be facing the exact same direction we've been facing.
What'd you do New Year's Eve?
Fuck all.
Yeah.
Laid around. Ate chili. No, ate chili. Fell asleep a little bit. Went and walked outside to catch a couple fireworks, hear some people bang pots and pans, shout Happy New Year. That was it. I'm not a big New Year's Eve guy. I think I worked one New Year's Eve as a comedian. I only worked one, and not even for midnight. I did like an early show and got out.
Yeah. Yeah, I never understood that I just feel like comedy is not very conducive for a New Year's Eve celebration. I've worked a few, but I have no interest. I don't purposely try to get booked anymore on New Year's.
I think it's decent money.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
But I just, I'm like, I'm not going to have fun doing this. So, yeah, that's all we did.
Yeah, I didn't even ring it in. That's when I was first starting to feel bad. I was asleep before midnight. I did watch my beloved Bulldogs win on New Year's Eve, which means they'll be playing in the national title game next Monday. Very excited about that. Something to look forward to.
You know what? At least something for you, buddy. Go Dogs.
That's right. Yeah, go Dogs.
Let's give you something, for Christ's sake.
My wonderful sports season is still in play here with, you know, the Braves obviously winning the World Series. The Dogs still have a chance to win the national title. It's very exciting. So I'm putting all my joyful eggs in that basket for the next week. But other than that, just been hanging out and being fatigued and coughing and snorting.
Yeah, buddy. Wait, are you making anything special for yourself, food-wise, to take care of your illness?
No, not really. No, it's just been pretty. I haven't had much of an appetite.
Did you lose your sense of taste?
No, I did not. I kept waiting for that to happen. But no, I didn't lose some. Thank God. So, but yeah, I was so clogged. I think I told you this off the air, but a couple nights ago, I was so like, I couldn't breathe at all through my nose. And like, it was just, and it wasn't even mucus. It was just a dry clog. And I was afraid to go to sleep. I thought I was going to die of like sleep apnea because like, I literally could not breathe at all through my nose. And that's a weird feeling. And I deal with that a lot with allergies and sinus stuff, but never to this degree to where it just felt like I had cement in my nostrils. Like, that's a weird feeling.
Well, let's get you cracking some chili peppers under there, like ammonia.
Yeah.
Is it ammonia they crack under somebody who's passed out?
Yeah, I think so. The smelling salts, I think that is ammonia. I thought about seeking some of that out, but I did that night. I ordered some really spicy ramen, and that was quite an adventure. Katie was just like, "Is this worth it?" Because I'm just sweating and coughing and snorting. I'm like, "No, this is good. This is good. Yeah, this is what I need."
It's like cleaning an engine. It's messy. You'd be better for it afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, but what? So New Year's Eve. So you watched football. You were sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are we gonna do for you guys to get you back on track for this year?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But one day at a time, and you know, we're trying to see the positives in this. You know, just in that. You know, it's sad that he's gone, but it's what I keep telling Katie. Like, she really has just, you know, upended her whole life the last few years trying to take care of her family. And, like, that burden's been lifted now, you know. As sad as it is, mm-hmm. you don't have to deal with the logistics of that anymore. And, you know, I think I told you off air, I think we've decided to move back to L.A. As much as I love Long Beach, like, we really only moved here just to kind of be closer to him, just so she could help out. And now that that's no longer needed, mm-hmm. You know, I just feel like, I mean, I prefer to live in Long Beach than L.A., but, you know, it's time for us both to get back into our careers. And, you know, I need to be up every night in town doing stuff. And, you know, so we're going to, in the next month or two, maybe look for a place back in L.A., get back up there and start a new chapter. You know, life's about change and, you know, people fear change, but change can be good most of the time, and there's nothing we can do about what's already happened, so we gotta move forward and start a new chapter and try to find some joy in that.
We'll be back there soon, man. I think I gotta get out of this gloom myself, so
yeah,
look out, Los Angeles, whether you like it or not, coming back. Well, yeah, I got nothing spooky for this year as of yet. I do check the old Reddit page there for stuff. Somebody did bring, somebody did make a nice thread as far as possible topics to cover, so I appreciate that.
Oh, cool.
And that was cool of you to do, and I don't need to see people arguing about, though. I like it when they just talk. Well, I like it when they talk about a subject matter. Like, we're going to do what we're going to do, but, you know, don't mm-hmm. take it upon yourself to defend one or the other. We like doing both, but I feel like mm-hmm. we've had some real bullshit episodes lately, Dave.
Yeah.
Some real,
I'm ready to
talking into each other's mouths. We got to crack some cases.
No, I'm ready to get back into it. Yeah. I'm eager to get back into some boogie stuff, and I've been lining up a list myself, and there's still a bunch of cool stuff out there that we've yet to bullshit about. So, yeah, we'll definitely try to focus on that in the new year, get a little more recommitted to the origins of this podcast, the whole point behind it, talking about weird, creepy, spooky stuff. So I'm excited about that.
Uncover some mysteries, man.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Or absolutely. You need to uncover them, and I will sit here and mock you for them. Either way, we got work to do, buddy.
Yep, that's true. You been watching any movies, any shows, anything piqued your interest entertainment-wise recently?
What did we watch? Nothing. It's all been like in holiday vibes, so it hasn't been anything creepy. Well, we watched Jurassic. You know what? We watched Jurassic Park the other week. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get Stone watch Jurassic Park. It's been a long time.
Hell yeah!
I don't know if you realize this blockbuster motion picture, real good movie.
Yeah.
If by chance you need to be reminded that Jurassic Park was, I mean, sure, you could pick apart little mistakes here and there, but it's a blockbuster film about dinosaurs. I'm going to go for this ride. And it was a worthwhile return to a classic action adventure film. We also watched Only the Lonely with John Candy.
I like that one.
I don't know why that one made the list the other night, but man, his Irish mother, Maureen O'Hara, I believe, just going on about Italians and Jews and Polish people. I'm like, and it's set in Chicago. I'm like, this one is hitting home real hard.
Yeah.
Because every slur she had for an Italian, Rachel's like, so that's where you get it from. She's like, I had no context. I never heard this before. And then she saw one movie set in Chicago with an Irish grandmother. And I'm like, see, it comes from a place. I wasn't just making shit up that people said.
Speaking of John Candy, I revisited Summer Rental a few months ago. Ooh. I don't know if I told you. Didn't hold up.
No?
Didn't love it. No, I remember loving it as a kid, but there was just something missing in that one. I couldn't put my finger on it. It just kind of felt phoned in. But, man, I do love him, though.
Yeah, Summer Rental, I think. You had Cary Grant. I had a young man, schoolboy crush on old Cary Grant as a child from Goonies fame.
Oh, yeah?
Goonies and Lucas and that era.
Yeah. Yeah. Boo, I watched a stinker of a movie the other day. I thought it started out pretty good, but it was one of those movies where, and I've seen a lot of this in the last few years, where like these just ambiguous endings, just like there's the ending, you figure it out, but this movie called The Nest. And it's got Jude Law, who bores the shit out of me. He's always bored the shit out of me.
Well, he makes my mom cream her jeans.
Oh, there you go.
That's the phrase she used.
Yes.
Of all the things to try and ingratiate yourself with your children.
Oh, no.
Young people's language. That's the one she went with. Yeah, it's rough. Sorry.
Yeah, he doesn't make me cream my jeans. He bores the shit out of me. But I did like the actress,
slacks.
Carrie Coon, who is the lead in season 3 of Fargo. Mm-hmm. She's a great actress, and she was great in this movie. Basically, it's just about this upper middle class family, and Jude Law's kind of living a life above his means, and he's afraid to tell his family, his wife and his kids, that he doesn't have the income that he's pretending to have, and blah, blah, blah. But the ending is just a big old pile of nothing. I mean, there's nothing to even spoil. It's just no resolution, no action, just, all right, movie's over. Fucking figure it out.
They're not nodding at something? No, like, well, this is an implied ending of sorts.
I mean, you know, I'm not the smartest film buff, so I'm, you know, there's a possibility that there could be something there that I didn't notice, but boy, to the naked eye, it felt like like they just ran out of time. Let's just wrap it up, like they got the light, and that was a bummer, because it was pretty good up until the ending.
Okay, all right.
I watched another movie, Pig. I watched that Nicolas Cage movie, Pig. Yeah. You seen that yet?
Yeah, that one was a surprising, like, not as psycho as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I kept thinking that there was going to be some kind of psychotic or violent turn. I don't want to spoil anything, but that was also a movie that, you know, very nuanced and very kind of understated, but I enjoyed it. I thought that one was pretty good, but even that one, you know, just, I don't know, maybe I'm just old and don't understand movies anymore, but I always like a conclusion. I like that's how it ends, rather than just, what?
Dave
what
likes to be told it's time to go to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to think. I don't want to have to come to my own conclusions.
Dave ain't looking at movies for thinking. You got to watch yourself some Jurassic Park is what you got to do. You don't want to think.
Yeah.
I remember, there was parts of it I'm like, wait a minute, what was that detail? I'm like, this is Jurassic Park. Trust me, things will get resolved. There's no like, here's a slight... Here's some subtlety in this we made dinosaurs for a Six Flags film.
Yeah. Watched a documentary called I think I'm pronouncing this right, Alpinist or the Pinist or Alpinist.
Pianist?
About a mountain climber.
Did you watch
it's
the
called
Pianist?
A piano, Dave. I think it's called Alpinist.
Okay.
Really good. I don't want to spoil anything, but really good movie. Basically about this guy who's, not to be confused with that other movie that came out a couple years ago about solo climbing, but these crazy maniacs that go mountain climbing.
Oh, yeah, the free climbers.
Yeah. I mean, what the fuck? That's insane. Like, that's one of the most insane things in terms of, like, extreme sports. Like, even skydiving, like, at least you know, if it works the way it's supposed to work, you're going to be fine. But these guys literally hundreds of feet up on the side of a mountain with no rappelling gear.
Skydiving's
no net,
like
no rope,
the opposite of free climbing.
Yeah.
Free climbing is you're ascending to an elevation with no safety. And skydiving is you're descending with hoping the safety's there.
Yeah. And just, I can't imagine the physical strength and ability it must take to do some of this shit. Like, you see these guys, and they're hanging off a mountain with just their fingers in a little crevice. And
also,
I told you
mentally,
years ago, just at any moment, like any wrong step, any, like, and they had these cameras, like they had like GoPros and stuff attached to their gear and stuff to where you could kind of see their vantage point. And it was just terrifying. Like, literally hundreds of feet. And not even like a normal like mountain, like a normal incline, like just, you know, straight up and down.
Yeah.
Like just literally hanging off of a cliff. And like to think about, and I, obviously these guys train for this and they prepare for it physically and mentally, but like also like they're up there for hours. It takes hours to do what they're doing. And like at any second they could slip and die. Like it was really, really insane. And but that was a good one. I enjoyed that.
I wonder if it's like, not to insult them, but if not I guess focused is the word I'm looking for. I'm like, you know where you're like dumb except for one thing?
Mm-hmm. Like an idiot savant.
Or just focused is the word that I'm really was a polite way of saying like, oh, you can like block out any other distractions to hone in on this one thing to do. It's focus. It's not like, oh, they're probably stupid except for rock climbing. That's what I realized it sounded like I was saying. But to not get mentally derided of just thinking about, I mean, do you ever just get that just driving a car where you're like, don't think about what would happen if you went over the double yellow line in the center of the road, or if somebody else went over the double yellow line, or what if a deer jumped down for like, you can think about that to the point where you don't want to drive a car anymore.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Or the reason people get nervous on planes, which I get it. You're like, what if one nut falls off the wheel of the landing gear when we're supposed to land? Like, just you could start going crazy with thoughts like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then mountain climbing is like, what if you just can't hold on this time? Okay, well, what about next time? Like, I just think to get that out of your mind, to be so clear-headed, to be able to not let fear take over in those moments, I think is crazy impressive.
The subject of this documentary, I forgot his name, but he was also talking about how he doesn't even like people to film him. Like, you would think something like that, kind of the point would be to document it, like, look what I did, and here's proof. And but he's like, no, like a true solo climb, I can't have anybody with me, I can't have anybody filming. It's just my experience. He was real spiritual about it. It's like, it's just my experience with the mountain and this moment in time that I achieved. And, you know, bringing anybody else to film it or even witness it would kind of tarnish that. And, I mean, just...
That is a dying breed of human being, is somebody that's doing something because they want to do it for themselves and not for recognition or documentation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, it was
good for him.
Yeah. Got much respect for anybody that can do that kind of shit, because Like I tell you, like I did it years ago, about 20 years ago. I used to run with this crew that was really into rock climbing and mountain climbing, and I
sounds
went
like
with
you
them
were
a
in a street gang, a street gang that liked rock climbing.
Now I had this crew that I worked with in restaurants. It was just a good little clique of dudes.
They learn it just so they can tag where nobody else can cover it up.
Yeah. But that was also back when I was in pretty good shape. I'm like 22, 23. I was in pretty decent shape. And, man, I could barely do anything. And I thought, like, oh, I'm strong and I'm athletic. I can hang with these guys. And these are just those little – a lot of these mountain climber dudes are just those real wiry, skinny dudes but have got just all this crazy functional strength. You know, just these, like, vascular, lean dudes.
Well, you're lifting your body weight by two fingers.
Yeah, yeah, and I thought I could go and, you know, come out and hang with these dudes, and it was just like, same way I felt when I used to try to go skateboarding. It's like, I'm an athlete, I have balance, I have coordination, I could barely even stand on a fucking skateboard. So I have so much respect for that those type of athletes that do that kind of crazy shit, and it was so hard. Like, it was so hard. Like, you, first of all, like, you gotta be strong, you gotta be able to at least do pull-ups to even do that sport. But, like, yeah, it's crazy. The strength and the concentration and just the bravery that it takes to do some of that shit. Like,
the way that – I don't know if you've ever seen how they, like, will put their hand into a slot and turn it. Like, so they're not even holding with their fingers. They're just making this kind of ball joint anchor with their fist.
Yeah.
So it's not even a grabbing, like a clenching motion. It's just making your fists – larger in a smaller space to anchor you in there.
So it kind of gets stuck in there. Yeah, that's nuts.
That's why they have that bag of Coke hanging off their belt, just to have the enthusiasm to get through it. So I got to keep just hitting bump after bump just to maintain that confidence. That's why. I think it's chalk. Fucking big old sack of blow just to get you to the top, man. Like, oh, I'm feeling a little scared. Do another rail. You'll get hyped.
Oh boy. Well, ate a honey baked ham the other day. That was exciting.
Whole one?
Nah. Oh. I mean, over the course of a few days.
Yeah, I figure you just keep that thing in the corner of the room.
Yeah. Boy, I forgot how much I love a honey baked ham.
I picture you just going at it with a machete, hacking off chunks and then eating it.
Oh man, yeah. Then I made a pot of beans with the leftovers, with the bone,
with the hock,
little ham bean bones, little ham bone beans. But yeah, not a whole lot going on. Just trying to take stock and everything, and you know.
Well,
just,
let's get you back into it, buddy. You know, let's get both of you feeling well. You had a rough go the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Let's get you back in there. You got you got a treadmill you could walk on in your front room there.
Yep.
Maybe you guys take morning. I want you to take a real walk on the beach with Katie, or at least on the boardwalk, knowing that it's 70 degrees and sunny down there, man.
Yeah. It was crazy. I know I'm complaining to the wrong person, but dude, it rained for like six or 7 days straight.
That's catastrophic. That's catastrophic in LA.
It's insane. It really is
because of the mudslides and everything that just, this has been dry and the plants died, so there's no roots to hold, or especially in like burn areas where all the plants that hold the stuff together died.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I get what 6 days of rain in LA can do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's not bore the listeners with weather. Let's tell them, hey, we're coming back 2022. We're going to talk about some ghouls and goblins, some snacks and feasts.
Hey, what are you doing personally with all the crazy COVID stuff going on? Are you canceling any dates, or are you just going to try to play it by ear?
Dude,
I was starting to try to book some dates, and then I'm like, I don't know if I should even book spring dates yet.
I'm waiting for them to cancel it. My attitude is I got my vaccine, I got my booster. Mm-hmm. Unless I catch it and then have to be like, all right, I'm not going to the show because I have COVID. Like, I'm just waiting to get it pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I have to do a podcast, another one in a half hour for this cruise that is still happening.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's so, I cannot believe, but I'm like, all right, let's see what happens. Cause I haven't canceled anything. The shows are canceling themselves slowly but surely. Well, I shouldn't say that. One canceled right now in Bend, Oregon on the 29th of this month. Haven't heard anything else yet. So I don't know, dude. This one, it kind of seems like whatever version this is that's around is not that bad. But you said you were laid up pretty hard.
Yeah, for a few days. It hit me real hard. But hopefully, you know, if everybody's vaxxed like they should be, then this thing won't affect people too bad.
But you're vaxxed. But you didn't have a booster?
Yeah, I was vaxxed. No, I was supposed to get the booster the other day, but I was just feeling too bad. I had to cancel. But like, but yeah, I mean, it hit me hard, but I, like I said, I feel like I'm almost out of it now. But I can't imagine how bad this would have sucked with it if you weren't vaxxed at all.
Yeah, I got a buddy that's... you know, one of my good buddies growing up, and we respect each other on the level of like, all right, we know we're on opposite sides of a lot of issues. And he's straight up like, nope, I don't trust this vaccine. And he went down to the fucking farm and feed and got whatever paste. You know? He legit did. That's where he went and got it from.
Really?
And he's like, well, I don't think it hurt. I'm like, all right. All right, dude. But you know what? He took animal medicine to beat a virus. I've taken animal medicine just for fun. Yeah. I did fucking ketamine when it was in a vial and we had to cook it in the oven so we could scrape it and snort it. So... I have to pump the brakes on how much I want to judge people. Yeah. Although it is like the whole thing is like being contagious and then spreading it to somebody who does not have the same defense as you do. But I don't, man, I don't know how much I can talk about COVID anymore. I got my shots.
Yeah.
I did the thing I'm supposed to. I'm going to go forth and exist.
Yeah.
And if everybody else does that same thing, then we're all in the same boat. So I don't know what to tell you.
I guess so. Just trudge forward.
We'll see, buddy. Let's get you feeling better. Let's get Katie feeling better.
Sorry, it's kind of a bummer this week.
2022. Let's see what happens. We can't be positive. We just have to. Let's see what happens. That's the slogan for this year.
There you go.
All right.
Any dates to plug? What do you got coming up?
Allegedly, I'm supposed to be in Fort Collins and Boulder next week. Those are the makeup dates from the appendectomy. Heavy Metal Cruise, Shiprocked, still on against all common sense.
Yeah.
So, like, I've been joking. I guess you're not afraid of COVID if you've had a... gonorrhea since the original Ozfest.
Oh man, yes, and you invited me to come with you and open, and I was so stoked to do that. And then I realized that more than likely my passport will not be ready by then. So
yeah,
go ahead and bow out of that.
Well, we got my buddy Andrew Overdahl's coming with now, and we're both sitting like, well, we're not going to cancel, but we'll see what happens. It's weird that they're still doing it, but is it weird that we're still not saying we're not going to do it? I don't know. But let's see. Providence, Rhode Island, February 3rd through the 5th. Cincinnati, February 11 and 12. I got a lot of new shows on the books. For how long? Good. Who knows? Omaha, the 18th and 19th. Des Moines, Iowa, 25th and 26th. I'm doing clubs. I'm a club guy this year.
There you go.
Club comic. Look out. Tip your weight, staff.
Oh, boy. Well, good, man. Good times. Well, I'm glad you had a good vacation, buddy. I'm glad it worked out.
I'm sorry you did not.
Yeah. Oh, well. We'll get through it.
We're going to get through it. We're going to get you up and running, buddy.
Yeah, we'll be fine. I just feel so bad for Katie, but she's a strong woman. She's going to handle this and move forward and on to new chapters. So
yeah,
we'll get through this.
You're doing right. You're there. You're looking out for her and doing a good thing. So.
Yeah. Yep. Take care of my wife.
Yeah, you go take. Hey, why don't you go handle your wife, dude?
Exactly.
That's good.
Well, good times, buddy.
That'll get a guy fighting.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we'll be hopefully up and running and back to our old selves next week. Sorry, this one's a few days late, but better late than never, I guess.
Yeah, we're all back on our bullshit, everybody. Get ready.
Back on our bullshit. 2022, baby. All right, man, you be good, and we'll talk to you next week. All
right. The Boogie Monster. We'll be right back.